inspiring interviews, provocative people. Get ready. Get bold today with your Emmy-winning host, LeGron Green.
I'm LeGron Green, and this is Bold. This is the place where we profile people who are truly making shift happen in the world. My guest today is Meg O'Connell, and she is the managing partner at Global Disability Inclusion. And I invited Meg on the show because this whole issue of disability is something I think that's been forgotten in our discussion, the conversation on diversity. Welcome, Meg, to the show. Hi, Meg.
Thank you so much, LeGron. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, Meg, I know you work in this field, and I found your organization and found you through an article I saw on disabled models who I think Nordstrom, the department store, features them quite often. They have an advertising campaign with people in wheelchairs, people who are disabled, and it was so breathtaking to see visually, and I went, I never thought about that being an issue, but it's actually such an illuminating thing to talk about and to put forth. So what do you do at Global Disability Inclusion?
Well, first, thank you for the recognition of the article and Nordstrom's. It really is groundbreaking, groundbreaking area that we're seeing now that companies are starting to recognize people with disabilities as a market opportunity. At Global Disability Inclusion, we're a boutique consulting firm, which means we exclusively focus on helping Fortune 500 companies see the opportunity in employing and marketing people with disabilities. As you adeptly stated, people with disabilities have been the forgotten diversity segment. So our job at GDI is to really shine the spotlight on people with disabilities as being strong, capable, confident, and a valuable part of our diversity environment.
Well, and we're talking about diversity here today, and here on Bold, we like to talk about shift and shift in the conversation. So I have a particular interest in this because my former partner was deaf. And living with a deaf person, which, you know, I didn't know any deaf people before I knew Brad, and it changed my outlook. I had no idea there was this whole world out there, you know, and he was also, he was legally blind, so he was deaf and legally blind. So he had a double whammy. But he taught me so much about, you know, inclusion and being aware that there's a whole world out there, and I think us who are, and Meg, I do want you to be very frank with us today, because what are the proper terms? Do we even say disabled anymore? I mean, what, you know, I hear so many things, handy capable. I hear so many different words being bandied about that I think in this world of political correctness, we don't know what to say anymore. So today we want to talk about what to say and what to do and how to include.
Right, right. It's such a good point. And, you know, as a country, we haven't been particularly nice to people with disabilities. It's been very much this, it makes us uncomfortable. We don't want to see people with disabilities. We have treated them as if they aren't confident and capable. And I love it when you talk about shift, because that's really what this is about. It's about shifting the mindset of how we view people with disabilities. And that's why models with disabilities is such a great way to change the conversation and shift the way we think about beauty, because when you see these models, they are beautiful models, both men and women, that just happen to have a disability. So including them is so important from the standpoint of, you know, they're buying toothpaste and shopping at Nordstrom's and wearing clothes and buying cars, and so why do people want to see individuals like them in the companies that they buy products from?
I will say that's what, you know, for those of you out there, dear listener, we know that this is a podcast, so you can't see the pictures. We'll make sure we have a link to what Meg is talking about here. But the Nordstrom's campaign, tell us how that came about, Meg. It was using disabled models of different stripes And is something, is this something that Nordstrom does quite often?
Actually, Nordstrom's has been a leader in this space for a really long time, both in employing people with disabilities and in using models with disabilities in their catalogs. They've done this since, like, 1997.
Wow.
So they have been a quiet leader in this space, never really shined a spotlight on it. And it just so happened, because this is an emerging trend right now, that the spotlight did get shown on Nordstrom for what they've been doing. So it really is fantastic, and we're seeing other companies follow suit.
Well, I love about what you just said, Meg, about the and this is Nordstrom. I used to live in Seattle, so that's where they're headquartered, and they are a fabulous company. And this whole issue, I love the fact that they were quiet about it. It's not that they were shouting to the rooftops, look at us, because that's not really, you know, it was like they just did it. And in this social media world that we live, there's nothing you can do anymore that's quiet. Goodness gracious. And like I said, that truly was what led me to you, Meg, because when I saw the picture, the particular one I saw was, I think, a woman in a wheelchair. I think she was missing a leg, or I mean, she was literally missing a limb. I can't remember whether it was a leg or an arm. But I'm like, and she was beautiful, and this was the ad. And I thought, and they weren't making a big deal about it. It was like, that was just, that in itself was one revolutionary.
It really is, and it really touches on the question that you asked earlier about how do we talk about people with disabilities, how do we refer to them, and, you know, the fact that Nordstrom didn't make a big deal out of it. It's just, you know, they were featuring shoes or a bag or whatever. The focus was on the product, not on the individual with the disability. And so when we talk about how to include people with disabilities, it's like how we include everybody else. And the language that we use should really be person-centric. So it's a person with a disability or a person that uses a wheelchair, not wheelchair-bound, because they're not bound to the wheelchair. They can get up out of it and transfer into their bed or other chairs and those types of things. So it's really being focused on the individual rather than their disability.
I get that so much. I mean, I like to consider myself a very enlightened guy. Even in that description you just said, there was a shift in me just right this very moment, Meg, because you said about the person with, you know, in the wheelchair, the person with the whatever the issue may be, that is a big difference from the handicapped person or the disabled person or the black person or the gay person. The person with whatever, because we all have something, we can fill that blank in, the person with blank, you know. We can all do that. So I felt a shift in me in the fact that I want people to understand that this is who we are. And I remember seeing, I think it was an ad or let me be clear. I'm having so much going through my mind right now that this is just so powerful a conversation. I'm like tumbling over my thoughts. I want to say that what struck me about what you were saying about the person with is that we have spent so much time concentrating on the difference instead of the similarities.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that's what people with disabilities want. They don't want you focusing on what they can't do. They want you to focus on who they are, what they can do, what they can accomplish, where they can add value into our lives, workplaces, communities. So as we think about those shifts, and we're seeing shifts happening in large companies all over the U.S. and around the globe that are beginning to understand, hey, they do have something to contribute. There is something beautiful about people with disabilities. There's something about having an individual with a disability in our workforce that is enabling us to think bigger thoughts and solve problems in a different way because they come at it with a different angle. And we've long since and have been shown that working in diverse environments is more profitable for everybody. So it absolutely should include people with disabilities.
And on this point about disability, I mean the diversity in the workplace, What is the number, Meg? How many disabled people, excuse me, people with disabilities?
I love it. You stopped yourself. That's fantastic. That's how we begin, one small shift at a time.
Small shift at a time. How many people, persons with disabilities, are there in the U.S.? Or, you know, is it like 20 million? What's the number looking like?
The number is 56 million. And
that big? That's a huge...
Yeah.
That's what we have 300 million now, so that's a six?
Yeah, it is a... just under 20% of the population are individuals with disabilities. And I think the big surprise for most people is that when you think disability, you often think, you know, physical disability.
Exactly.
You see that iconic wheelchair symbol everywhere. And so it's just kind of ingrained in our brains that that's what we think about. But, you know, more than 80% of disabilities are invisible. They're people with MS. Or bipolar disorder, or, you know, mental illness, or I, for one, have epilepsy, so you wouldn't know that by looking at me. So when we think disability, it's bigger than those with physical disabilities.
Well, that I can speak to, as you said, Meg, and thank you for disclosing that, because that's something that I think the more people know that, you know, we're out there and you're doing things, and it's not about being constricted by whatever it is going on in your life. Like I said, that we all have something. And my partner, who was deaf and legally blind, and, you know, people,
right.
He was a stunning shape. People would look at him like, what's your problem? He'd have to explain, and then, you know, they accept the deaf part, but they still, when they see a physically capable person in their eyes, that's not a disabled person.
That's exactly right.
So I think this
exactly
whole
right.
shift in this 56 million, I mean, one out of six, one out of two, you know, one out of, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of us, a lot of you listening out there. So it's about being bold and really acknowledging that this is an issue we need to, actually, I don't even want to say it's an issue. It's just a part of life.
I love that you said that, because it's true. And we often say that the disability diversity group is the only one you can really join. The rest of them, you're born into, you know. So it is. It's just life. Life happens. People have car accidents. People, you know, lose their hearing. People lose their vision. All the things that we've been talking about, those typically most disabilities are acquired. It's a very small percentage, only like 17% of people with disabilities are born with their disability. So that large number that we just talked about, the majority of those are acquired over time, or, you know, it's a disease or an illness or a sickness or an accident, and people have become disabled because of that. The trends that we are seeing now are companies are really beginning to stand up and take notice in a way that they have not previously. And part of that is due to some recent legislation that has come out from the Department of Labor. It's called Section 503. It was an adjustment of the Rehabilitation Act, and it is now requiring federal contractors and subcontractors to ensure that 7% of their workforce are individuals with disabilities. Now, one of the key components of this is encouraging self-identification as an individual with disabilities. So we have this huge shift in the U.S. that's happening now that has moved from a don't ask, don't tell culture around disability. And
mm-hmm.
people with disabilities were often told, as long as you can hide it as long as you can, don't mention it, is exactly right. And
yeah.
people with disabilities have been afraid, well, if I disclose, I'm not going to get the plum assignments. What if my boss has issue or my coworkers have issue? And so now we're seeing trends of around self-identification of companies that are being able to ask or encourage disclosure. So we're seeing these incredible self-ID campaigns happening in big companies, you know, that are about disclosing who you are and your disability and really saying, hey, it's not about my disability, it's about who I am and what I need to get the job done. So it's a brand new world now for companies and being able to have better conversations around disability and educating people on what it means if someone disclosed and what it doesn't mean. And so it's really a powerful time in the disability community right now.
Well, it's very similar. I mean, it's the exact same thing I think that was happening or is happening in the LGBT world. It's always coming out. I've never thought about that from the world of disability.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it the way you're putting it, Meg. So you're, once again, ping, 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 ping. My brain is just like going on fire with all these new, very simple but truths that you're speaking here today.
Well, there are so many similarities between the disability community and the LGBT community with how the disclosure and coming out. So absolutely. And we, to be honest, the disability community has really looked to the LGBT community to how have they progressed so much further than we have as a community in being included and being viewed as a valuable diversity segment. So absolutely the disability community is trying to follow in some of the footsteps that have been laid by the LGBT community to help us gain our equality as well.
Well, it is about equality, and it is about, like you said, Meg, I this is such a fascinating conversation to me because when you're talking about the coming out piece or the self-identification piece, that word I have to start using now, self-identification, because just that is the power of coming out. And I think in with the disability issue becoming a topic now, which it always has been, but in this particular world now, you know, we didn't have social media 20, 30, 40 years ago, you know, but now you can get the message out there so much quicker in things like the Nordstrom campaign, in things of saying like just mainly that 1 out of 5 Americans are disabled or, you know, or have disability, just that is powerful. And if nobody gets anything else from this, that most disabilities are not visible.
Right. So it's really an exciting time when you talk about overall diversity and inclusion. And it really is, if you stop and think about it, here we are, we're about to embark on 2015, and we're still talking about that not all diverse groups are being treated equally or included. And so it really is powerful that we're seeing companies start to stand up and take notice, and the quiet giants like Nordstrom are being recognized for the work that they have always been doing and leading the way. And that I think we're only going to see more and more inclusion of people with disabilities in advertising and marketing campaigns. And, you know, we have organizations like Models of Diversity really helping with that. And I think it's really going to be an exciting time for our community.
Well, Meg, we so appreciate you taking the time to talk about this on Bold as we shed a light on what it means to be joyfully a person with disabilities in America and around the world today. So this has been a fascinating discussion, and we thank you, Meg.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.
Well, you can find Meg, she's the managing partner again, at Global Disability Inclusion, and you can find them at globaldisabilityinclusion.com. As always, if you like what you've heard, join the conversation at getboldtoday.com. Remember, shift happens right where you are. Be the change. And get bold today.